The CFL season is here. The Argos make a trade. And we're going to enjoy the bye week. Plus, some jackpot fantasy advice. All in this episode of the Argos Fancast. Crack those cold ones. It's the Argos Fancast. You can find us at Argos Fancast. And anywhere you find your friendly neighborhood podcast, just search Argos Fancast. Or directly at theargosfancast.podbean.com. I'm Clay Chisholm. You can find me at All Kinds of Clay on the various social media machines. And joining us, as always, the resident historian from argofans.com, the VP of Football Operations, Will Gertler, MBA.
Hi, everybody. Happy week one. You can find me on Twitter at ArgoFans or at www.argofans.com.
And Doug is not here tonight. He's working. So you can find him at DougB519, or you can find the group at Double Blue Order. And just on any of them, just search Double Blue Order. You'll find them. If you go to doubleblueorder.ca, you can get the DBO merch, including the law firm t-shirt. Well, we're starting the week off on a bye, so why not make a trade, I guess? The Argos traded Jalen Collins and a prospect offensive lineman to the Edmonton Eskimos for a sixth round pick. And I mean, when you look at the name, it was a little bit shocking until you see what happened. In camp, it seems that Tavarius McFadden played just as well as Jalen Collins and earned himself a gig because, well, he's a little bit cheaper.
That and maybe some disconnect between Collins and the new coordinator.
Possibly, but I mean, when you're, you know, right down on cut day, you know, it makes more sense that, you know, hey, it may just be, you know, a money thing, but. Yeah, I mean, if you've got a guy who that's the MO of the CFL. When you got a guy who can do it cheaper, you tend to go with that guy. Yeah. And since that freed up a roster spot, the Argos brought back Tiggy Santo from one of our first global draftees. They brought him back, and he's on the practice roster, I believe.
Yeah. I think he's back on the active roster. Is the LDPR.
Okay. Well, you know what? Let's take it. Since we can do this, let's take a look at the roster.
Yeah. Sorted out by position.
Looks like he is on the practice squad. Or they haven't updated their roster yet.
No, I don't see them on anything. So, yeah, they haven't updated it yet.
No. But they did tweet out that they re-signed him. Yep. So, I mean, apart from that, you know, we've already talked about the cuts. So that's about all the Argos news. We're on a bye week, so we're, you know, taking it easy, watching what's going on. The CFL does start this week. The one thing that I've noticed from a lot of people are saying, well, the Argos may not be as good as they once were. I don't believe that for one second.
No, but
I think
I do understand a bit of the point. You know, the Argos did win a lot of close games last year. So, you know, this year they're going to have to, I don't want to say get out to better starts, but, you know, put their foot down a little more authoritatively in games.
Yeah. They really need to do that. I mean, as much fun as those games are, you're probably going to give a few of us a heart attack watching if they keep that up. I still think the people are underestimating the Toronto Argonauts this year. I saw Derek Taylor tweeting out his predictions for the CFL season, put the Argos in third. No.
He's trying to keep putting Ottawa at one.
Yeah, well, he's probably playing up to his new hometown fans since he's moved over to Winnipeg. Because I believe he had Winnipeg in first again. Oh, and a lot. It'll be interesting. I mean, we open up against the Ticats next week, which I mean, always interesting when we host the Ticats, and I think this one's going to be even more interesting with Brandon Banks and Double Blue.
Don't we play Montreal?
Man, yeah, we're playing Montreal.
Yeah.
I'm really on the bye week this week. Mm. Yeah, when do we?
We don't play Hamilton until August the 6th.
What was I looking at the other day? I have no idea.
We played Montreal on Hamilton last week in the preseason game.
Yeah, must have been last week that I was looking at and assumed it was this week. Oh, okay, well.
It's not like the Tiger Cats run rampant in our head.
No. No, they don't. But yeah, some other news and notes from around the league besides people shooting down the Argos is Tristan Dekou just recently, as of yesterday, signed with the Elks.
Yep,
who are now sporting four of our former players. They seem to be taking a page out of Pinball's playbook. You know, we're Calgary East. Well, they're Toronto West all of a sudden.
Well, say what you will about Chris Jones, he does have players who will follow him.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's an extremely polarizing guy. You can hate him 1 minute, and then all of a sudden, there's something in his voice when he starts talking football. It's mesmerizing. You know, that when I first heard him talk on the sideline, or well, in training camp in 2013, it was, I was just sitting there, I'm like, oh man,
that's exactly,
yeah, And you know, he was addressing his defense and everything, but you could just, if you looked at, you know, after I, you know, the fog kind of wore off, I looked around and like everybody, like all the coaches, everybody just kind of seemed to be paying attention to what he was saying. It was incredible. You know, that man just sounds like football. But then he'll, you know, turn around and sell out a team for a better job without even thinking twice.
You know, everywhere.
So we'll see. I mean, he's got, you know, just about every title you can have in Edmonton now. So I think the only way up for him would to be to get an NFL position, an actual NFL position.
You know, this background consultant thing that he had in Cleveland.
Yeah, that didn't seem to work out great.
Well, it's the Cleveland Browns, so, you know, they turn over coaches so frequently.
Yeah. Yeah, it just, it seems like, you know, as the seasons turn, the Cleveland Browns look for somebody else. You know, since we're on a bye week, let's kind of go around the CFL and just kind of see what's, you know, what things we've got going on for other teams. I mean, the Lions are an interesting one to start with. Their new owner is doing some very good things. They've apparently sold out the lower bowl of BC Place for their home opener.
Yep.
And they're going with the two Canadian quarterbacks.
I hope it succeeds.
Absolutely. Well, Nathan Rourke look like he deserved that spot in the preseason. So we'll see how that goes. They did bring in Antonio Pipkin to kind of guide them and make sure that they've got a veteran there if they need it. Yeah, and the only other thing that I'd be watching out in BC is I mean, apart from, you know, how the fans are reacting to the attitude of the new ownership, not jealous, you know, is Lucky Whitehead going to be the same guy? Seems like it.
Well, they'll need, they're going to need a lot of their supporting cast, you know, Lucky Whitehead, Brian Burnham, to really step up and help those young quarterbacks.
Yeah, and we'll see how that goes. We've already talked about Edmonton, they, you know, becoming Toronto West, and down in Calgary. And, I mean, is Bo Levi Mitchell going to be the same guy?
And how much of a leash does Dave Dickinson give him?
Yeah, because, I mean, last year, Bo Levi Mitchell did not look great.
No, he did not.
And so far in the preseason, he has not looked great. And that's about all. Calgary's not much. There's not much going on. You know, there's talk of their defense being a little bit suspect. You know, whether Jalen Philpott can can do anything this season. He's a little banged up through training camp. Continuing down the road into, well, your favorite place, Saskatchewan.
They will not make the playoffs.
They released running back Shaq Cooper that they signed in April. Brought back Charleston Hughes. And if Charleston Hughes does something, it plays really well in Saskatchewan, I'm going to be a little upset.
I see what you mean.
And, you know, for them to succeed, Cody Fajardo's got to take that next step. I don't think he's quite taken it yet. He keeps looking a little bit better and then not, and then a little bit better and then not. I think he's got to take that next step, and I'm assuming you don't think he is.
Nope. But I do think they'll beat Hamilton this weekend.
Well, yeah. Everybody's got to beat Hamilton.
Yeah, well, you know I don't normally pick Saskatchewan to win anything.
No, the only time you ever pick Saskatchewan to win anything is when they're playing Hamilton.
Do I? I don't know.
Well, going down the Trans-Canada to Winnipeg.
It's a long drive.
Yes, it is. Long, very boring, very flat.
Yep.
Nothing to see. It's a drive where you can get fooled into you can get distracted. You can end up going so much faster than you believe you are because there's nothing. Things just kind of stand still even when they're going 200 kilometers an hour in an Intrepid filled with luggage.
Yeah. Are you speaking of personal experience?
Yes.
Mm.
I remember doing the drive from Winnipeg. We used to fly into Winnipeg, rent a car there, and then drive into to see relatives. And you know, I remember coming home one day and talking to my dad. Oh, yeah, we were going a little bit fast on the highway. Thank God it wasn't our vehicle. It was, you know, somebody else was driving their vehicle. But it was, oh yeah, yeah, I think we said we got up to about 185 on the 40 or the other 401 down to Windsor. And he goes, yeah, you've gone faster than that. I'm like, when? Oh, I remember when we used to drive from Winnipeg into Saskatchewan. Like, yeah. Yeah, I usually set the cruise at about 215.
Gee.
Like, how the hell did you get a rental car that goes 215? It must be why the cops used to get the Intrepids.
Cops sit at the border.
Yep. They sit at the border and peg you off because I think the speed changes or something like that on the border. Out of Winnipeg, you know, we've already given that we've already had that scouting report last week, so you know, they're going with their Canadian running backs that are not named Andrew Harris. Looks like Jackson Jeffcoat is going to be injured for the first week against Ottawa. And Greg Ellingson is making his debut there.
And Zach Caleros got named the best top player in CFL, according to TSN.
Yeah. I have yet to actually look at that list. look at that momentarily. Well, once you pass Winnipeg, it's
a long drive to Hamilton.
Yes.
You can either go through North Dakota, Minnesota, Wisconsin, Illinois, and Michigan, or you can do the long drive around Lake Superior.
Yes. And it is a long drive.
Yep. And nothing.
Yeah. Yeah, that's one of those ones, one of those trips where you see civilization and you need to stop. It's not like, we'll get the next one. No, the next one might be several hours away.
You stop and top off.
Yes. May not make it to the next one. Can we just say Hamilton sucks and move on?
Sure.
Ottawa.
Will their free agents gel?
Yeah. I mean, they're you know, look pretty brand new. Can Lapolis, you know, make his offensive magic work there? Find out.
Find out Friday.
Yeah. And Montreal.
Another wild card.
Yeah. I mean, you know, they seem to be set with Vernon Adams. I mean your other option would be Trevor Harris.
Yeah.
And you know, I think that at this point Trevor Harris is, you know, kind of he's in that veteran role where you bring him in, you know, in case, but he's kind of on the downside.
Well, it's been 10 years since the Argos brought both Galeros and Harrison.
And they're still in the league.
Yep.
And then the other Philpott brother is playing in Montreal. They brought in Herji Mayala as well. So, I mean, Vernon Adams doesn't have any excuses anymore.
Then the Atlantic Schooners.
The Atlantic Schooners.
Get it figured out. Halifax.
Yeah. Are they going to make any strides towards actually having a team? I mean, they're not going to have a team this year, but does it move forward anymore? Because, you know, COVID just kind of shut it all down. Okay, going to this top 50 list. Haven't got to the list yet. I'm just going by the numbers that they've been put out there. Toronto Argonauts have 4 players in the top 50. Tied with Montreal and Saskatchewan.
Jagger Davis, Andrew Harris, Sean Oakman, and McLeod, Bill Thompson. Who was looking? Who brought his baby to practice? Just take your kids to work day, I guess.
Right, where? So, Jagger Davis is the top Argonaut, comes in at number 12. Where else do we have people? Andrew Harris at number 18. Okay. Sean Oakman at 31.
Yeah. 31. Number 31.
Where do we have McLeod Bethel Thompson coming in
46. At
number 6?
46.
Yeah. I don't know, looking at this, I think it kind of gives a bias to who was in the Grey Cup last year.
Well, maybe wouldn't that kind of make sense?
Yep. You know, Zach Caleros 1, Willie Jefferson 2, Adam Bakehill 4. Guys. Yeah, Stanley Bryant 5, so yeah, Jackson Jeffcoat 7. So we're going to need half of the top 10.
I mean, they were by far the best team in the league.
Yeah. And I want to try and argue with those picks, but I can't. You know, Caleros was the MVP. Willie Jefferson still Willie Jefferson. Adam Bakehill was, I think, the leading tackler in the CFL.
He was.
Stanley Bryant is
elite lineman.
Yeah, I mean, he's the perennial top tackle in the league every year for what, the last, I don't remember when he wasn't the one of the top tackles. And Jackson Jeffcoat, also pretty damn good. The only one I hate seeing on here is Simone Lawrence.
Of course. Do we want to mention Larry Tannenbaum?
All right.
It is a bit of an elephant in the room.
Illegal procedure. Defense. They made the offense move. 5-yard penalty. First down.
Okay, since you brought it up, Will, you get to run with this. I'll mutter under my breath as you go.
So, I got to call up the full quote. Be unfair to...
Let's just say we're not pleased with the comments made by Larry Tannenbaum.
Yeah. So Larry Tannenbaum was asked, you know, about the Argos in an article. He said, you know, or this is about the CFL in general. I'm not happy with it. I'm not happy with the structure of the league. My concern is the major cities of Toronto, Montreal, and Vancouver, it's not attracted the younger fan engagement. You look at value creation, and you know, quite unfortunately, these teams are not worth that much money. The hockey-based basketball or soccer teams are trading at hundreds of dollars, in some cases billions of dollars. And you see the Argos, you know, a 106-year-old league, and what value creation are these franchises trading at? You got to look at that and say, is that success? So he's clearly not happy with the community-based teams.
No.
But, you know, there's a perception, or it's very much perceived by Argo fans and others, that MLSC really has not put their best foot forward in... helping the Argos recover, you know, and that's not to say that, you know, the guys like Mike Hogan, Sean Bowman, you know, they all try their best. I'm not discounting the work that they do, but at the same time, the whole larger corporate umbrella of MLSC has not done their utmost, in my opinion. And I know it's a slow, I know it was going to be a slow process, but, you know, after these comments, you have to question the commitment.
Yeah, and this is one of the guys who was, he, I mean, even before it was fully under MLSE, he was one of, it was Larry Tannenbaum and Bell that purchased the Argos and, you know, eventually convinced Rogers, who was their other partner in MLSE, to officially buy in. But, I mean, okay. You, MLSE kind of came on and there wasn't, you know, shortly before, like one season before COVID, I think they were officially part of it.
Yeah, well, they had two, but yeah. I mean, the team was very bad in both years.
Yeah, 4-14 years. So that doesn't help. And then we had COVID. And last year we were back somewhat. But I really, really tried to toe the line when, you know, everybody was saying MLSC isn't doing squat. You're not seeing the advertising. And to be honest, like they were doing a lot of targeted ads specifically in social media and you know, and on various websites and things like that. You know, they were using all those methods, but that's one piece and they never seem to get past that.
No, exactly.
And you know, it almost feels like they've kind of regressed a little bit in that. You know, you've got the individual guys out there, you know, trying to do their best, but, you know, you can only do so much when you're, you know, individuals.
Your reach is only so much.
And, you know, for Larry Tannenbaum to say that, you know, he's not happy with the business model, well, no shit, you're coming from the Leafs and the Raptors. And I'm sorry, when if you're going to bring MLSE or Major League Soccer into this, their business model is completely different. And the only reason the franchises, and I'm going to probably piss off some soccer fans, the only reason those franchises are quote-unquote trading at such a high value is based purely on future speculations. If you look at the payrolls of these teams, they far outweigh the revenue. These teams are losing money and they're banking on all these star players that everybody is contributing to and paying stupid amounts to get the next TV deal. And if they don't get that $1 billion TV deal, those trading numbers are just going to disintegrate. They're not going to be able to pay their players. It's, yeah, you know, yes, it looks all fancy. You're bringing in the $1 million players and paying them, and you're probably still paying off David Beckham's contract that every team in the league had to pay for. You know, stop complaining and do something. You want your team to be worth more. Do the things to make it worth more money. You're the owner. get off your ass and do it.
Yep. It is what it is. You're not going to convince. You're only one vote on the Board of Governors. You're not going to convince them to change the business model.
No. And, I mean, you look at, you know, teams in, and like, I'm always going to go back to Saskatchewan. In the 80s, they were still selling out some games, but they were literal telethons to keep the team afloat. And as much as that's, you know, a laughable thing, that's kind of where the build started to get them back to such prominence in the province of Saskatchewan. You know, with those telethons were basically 3-4 hour long commercials for the team.
Yeah.
You know, and as idiotic as a telethon sounds to save a professional sports franchise, it not only did it raise the money they needed, but it started putting the name out there even more in front of people that probably were tuned out of it. You know, and what is, I understand it's we're a completely different market. You know, there's a lot of money, or it costs a lot of money to go see a game, and there's a lot of choices. But you need to start tapping into some of the things that you can. Like, I mean, well, how many times do you see somebody in Raptors gear around BMO Field?
Enough.
Why are we not having players at their games on a regular basis and having them interact with that crowd on a regular basis?
Well, Brandon Banks wanted to go. They wouldn't let him.
Like, you know, this is exactly where your young fan base is going to come from. And if you don't want to go out and, you know, go to the, for God's sakes, it's part of your company. Right? Like, why wouldn't you have players at Raptors games? At TFC games? Leaf fans, okay, you know, that's a completely different animal. You know, if you have the option to do that, yes, but you can probably get the money for whatever suite you want, for whatever you want to price it at it for the Leafs. But, you know, get them out there interacting with fans, you know, introduce them, stuff like, it's stuff that does not cost you a ton.
Exactly. Just do it.
Just do it. You know, I know that's not
before you get an ulcer.
Yeah. Okay.
I feel like this is just causing you a lot of agita.
Yeah. Okay, fantasy time.
Speaking of agita.
The greatest fantasy advice known to man.
So we're playing in a league this year.
We are.
Yeah.
We are playing against all kinds of podcasters across Canada. I believe there's 17 people in that. And then I think the only caveat that we have is we have to have, we can't have any position left open.
Really?
Yes, that's the only caveat out there.
Huh.
Doug has graciously given us some picks, and we'll see if we can fit them in. He chose Zach Collaros as your quarterback. They're playing Ottawa. Makes sense. He's got Emmanuel Arsenault playing for Edmonton in BC. And he's also picked William Powell, running back who is now back in Ottawa and playing against Winnipeg.
William Powell's not playing.
Okay, so we'll cut him out there.
Yeah.
Or drop him. I mean, it's not like we can pick any Argos, so we've got to figure it out, I guess. Running back.
Don Jackson, I don't know.
You want to pick a tie cat?
Yeah.
You have to do that?
If it'll help us win.
Yeah. Yes, we're playing Wood Cookie. We're playing Rod, the fantasy guru out there. Oh. Don Jackson at just under 7,000. And we need, okay. We'll put him in there. And the other running back. Do we want to go in the same game and throw in Jamal Morrow for Saskatchewan?
We could.
Okay, we've done that. So we've got Emmanuel Arsenault at wide receiver. How much do we have left in our bank here? We've got 14,500 left, and we've got three positions to fill. We need a wide receiver.
Jalen Acklin?
Jalen Acklin. Where are we here? Well, now I got to search for him because I can't find him.
Are you sure we really want Arsenal in our lineup? It's his first game in like a gazillion years. Just saying.
So Jalen Acklin for Ottawa. Okay, we'll throw him in. Going to drop Emmanuel Arsenault. The guy who I rode last year, Keenan Schaefer Baker.
Hey, because he's a writer.
Yeah, but he did put up some good fantasy points. Or we could go somebody from Montreal.
I have Winnicky in mind.
Okay. Well, we're not going to be able to do... Okay, you know what? I'm making an executive decision. I am dropping Zach Collaros, and I'm picking up Nathan Rourke.
Yeah.
So now we got 6,000 left. We got to get a defense. So we go to a defense. Everybody except for Saskatchewan and Winnipeg are worth $3,200. Roll the dice, Will. Who are we picking? Because we're not going Winnipeg or Saskatchewan.
BC.
BC? Done. And last flex player, we have $2,900 left.
$2,900.
So.
A lot there.
No.
Will these people even play?
Tyson Philpott. I mean, we could go with the rookie Tyson Philpott.
One of them was.
He's the one that's not on the injured list.
Okay.
Or we could. Okay, what is this guy's name? Luther Hakuna Navanu.
You better make sure that they play.
Got your state pass for the Stampede, but yet turned 201 yards. Well, you know what? Let's go with the rookie Tyson Philpott, and we'll
hope for the best.
Yeah, hope for the best. That leaves us with 462. We'll lock this in, and we'll cookie going down. And Doug, sorry, we had to remove all your picks. Okay, we've got that set. Now let's go around the league and look at the game. So. Season starts Thursday night in Calgary. Montreal is visiting. Who do you got in this one?
Montreal.
I'm there as well. I think, I don't think that we're going to see the Bo Levi Mitchell that we all have learned to hate. We'll see the one that we laugh at. Friday, we've got Ottawa at Winnipeg. This is not close. Winnipeg.
Yeah, Winnipeg.
Saturday, we've got the doubleheader. Hamilton in Saskatchewan. That place is going to be stupid loud. Dane Evans isn't going to understand what's going on. Saskatchewan.
I got Saskatchewan because Hamilton shits the bed on their early Western road trips usually.
And then we've got Edmonton in BC. Are you going with Rourke or Arbuckle?
I'm going with the Lions.
Me as well, because, well, we need their quarterback to have a fantastic game.
That's true.
And Doug was sleeping on his job. He was supposed to get some stuff for the 3-minute warning. We don't have that. So the only thing we can do is take a look and see what our friends in Kazakhstan are tweeting about. Let's see, where are they here? Still hasn't, he's been rather quiet lately.
Yeah.
I mean, the you know, you know, last time he, you know what, I'm going to go with his response to the TSN top 50 players. And he just simply replied, "Niet." That one I know, I don't even have to translate that. That means no.
Oh.
That wasn't the top 50. That was the CFL season preview, and their question was, can Hamilton make it to the dance for a third straight year?
Yet.
And I think that's about all we need to say about that. Next week, we'll have a game to preview. So tune in for that one. And you know what? We also need to make mention that it was officially announced today that Nataya Jay and Mike Hogan are going to be doing a weekly podcast called The Cover 2. So now you've got three Argos podcasts that you have to listen to. With that, Will, where can they find you?
Find me on Twitter at ArgoFans or www.argofans.com.
You can find me at All Kinds of Clay. You can find Doug at DougB519. Or you can find the Double Blue Order at Double Blue Order. Or if you're on any of the other social medias, just search Double Blue Order. And doubleblueorder.ca is where you get the merch, including the Law Firm t-shirt. Get them now while they last. You can find the Argos Fancast at Argos Fancast. Or anywhere you find your friendly neighborhood podcast, just search Argos Fancast. We'll be back next week. Hopefully Doug will do his homework because he is on afternoons again. But we'll talk to you next week when we've got an Argos game to preview. Have a good bye week, Argos fans. We'll talk to you next week.